you will note as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Father God, praise you for your word. We ask that you will speak to us this morning, that your Holy Spirit will anoint the spoken words, and that he will apply them to our hearts and our lives, in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I worked as a nurse in general practice, I ran a minor illness clinic. The idea was that I should see those patients who didn't really need to see a doctor, the people with sore throats and rashes and twisted ankles. It was a good system, but it was sometimes really scary. It's one thing to think, when you hear somebody describe their symptoms over the phone, that it's something you can possibly deal with. It may be very different when you actually see the person. The rash might be something you don't recognise. The ankle might look as if it's broken after all. Of course, there was always a doctor on hand to whom I could go for advice. Then, of course, there were people who felt they should definitely be seeing a doctor, and I was somehow second best. But I found this way of working interesting and challenging. And what gave me the confidence was that I knew I had my employers behind me. Practice policy was to run the surgeries this way. I knew that my medical colleagues trusted me and supported me, that their authority was behind me, and they were there to help me if I needed. Being given the task of giving the good news of Jesus to every part of the world is scary. We feel that it is. And those first disciples standing there on that hillside long ago must have felt that too. But the followers of Jesus know that they have his authority behind them. We have the resources of heaven. We have all the help that we'll ever need. We see that Jesus has authority. He's about to commission his followers to go and take the gospel to everyone. And this is not a suggestion. Before he tells them exactly what they're to do, he tells them that he has authority. It's like an officer reminding a soldier of his rank before he gives him an order. He's sending them out. And this is why, because he's been given all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew, in his gospel, is always keen to point out the way that Jesus fulfilled the scriptures. Here is the echo of some words from Daniel long ago. "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus has already quoted part of that to the chief priests before his death. Now that he's raised from the dead, everybody can understand that this is gloriously true of him. He has authority, the authority of God. He has absolute power, and he's in his hands. That is a very good thing. He can therefore send his disciples on the next stage of the mission. Those who follow Jesus are new people because of what he has done. Paul tells us in Ephesians, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace." Jesus has authority, and amazingly, because of who we are in him, he gives us authority to carry on his work. The disciples need to know that he's not just been raised from the dead to do more of what he did before. He won't be going around Galilee again, preaching, teaching, and casting out demons. He is returning to his Father, and the work is to be continued by those who call him Lord. We are to be the representatives of the Lord Jesus. That's a huge responsibility. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we're speaking on behalf of Jesus. We're to tell people about him, what he stands for, what we believe about him, why he's special. It is, says Paul, as if he was making his appeal through us. We're representing Jesus to the world. We saw over the Jubilee celebrations that Prince Charles, Princess Anne, Prince William, and other members of the family stood in for the Queen. They represented her authority, everything that she stands for. Even before that, we saw Prince Charles opening Parliament with the crown beside him on a chair to remind us that it was as if the Queen was there. It was a symbol of her authority. It was all being done in her name. It's been announced that this summer Her Majesty won't personally attend any of the garden parties, much too much standing around for a lady of 96. But various other members of the family will deputise for her, and I'm sure that they will do the same things that she would do. Visitors to the palace will have a similar experience to previous years because everything will be recognisable as being inspired by the Queen's example. If we're representing Jesus, then we are acting in his name. We need to be recognisable as his people, doing the same things that he would do. He promises us, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing and will do even greater than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We need to be recognizable as those who want what Jesus wants. And when we say or do something, it's as if he had said or done it. How would it be if Christians were always recognizable by the way they behaved, by the way they spoke, by the things they did and the things they didn't do? What would it be like if those we met could see Jesus in us all the time, understanding that we're his representatives, who have the right to speak with his authority because we reflect what he's like to the world? What better way of showing what it means to follow him than always behaving as he would? We might wonder how we could ever be like that. But we have the assurance that it's possible because of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus himself, the one before whom every knee will bow, has all authority and gives us everything we need to fulfill this task. When he prayed for his disciples before his death, he said to his Father, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." We go with the best possible authority. Jesus gives us the authority to go and do. There was once an angling club which had been founded by a well-known fisherman, and he'd left the district. And after he'd gone, the members built a fine building to house the club. It had lists of things about fish on the walls and all sorts of things about different angling equipment. They used to sit in the building and have all sorts of discussion about fishing. Actually, they talked about the subject endlessly. But then one day, the famous fisherman came back to see how they were getting on. And he was very surprised to find that they weren't actually doing any fishing at all. They just sat and talked about it. It's very easy for the church to get sidetracked into doing all sorts of things, and indeed talking about doing all sorts of things. Looking at what we call the Great Commission brings us up short because it takes us right back to what we're meant to be doing. Jesus gives us authority and sends us to go and make disciples of all nations. Apparently in the Greek, the most imperative part of this is make disciples. Jesus isn't just talking about telling people, he's not just talking about making converts, he's talking about discipling them, helping believers to grow and develop, bringing them to a point, in fact, where they can in turn go and make other disciples. It's a process that grows the church, which develops it into a world-changing movement. He directs his followers to teach others, to baptize them, so that they show to the world that they're born again as new people and they're part of the body, the church. It's a dynamic process. It's about lives changing, believers growing, good news spreading. It sounds very simple and it sounds a bit alarming because there is no plan B. But we've been given authority by Jesus himself. He doesn't expect us to do this alone. You might say that the plan has been successful so far. The gospel has been preached in many parts of the world. The church has grown. Those first disciples preached and taught and travelled to the limits of the world they knew, and others have taken up the task. But there's always a need to continue. In changing times, the church needs to change and develop as well. Jesus sends us out to everyone. His message is inclusive. It doesn't know any barriers. The early church discovered that God wanted to bring all people into his family, not just the Jews. The message of Jesus is not just for people who look like us and sound like us and think like us. The authority we have should inspire us to reach out to everyone with a dynamism and an enthusiasm that doesn't necessarily mean we've always got to do things the same way. We're called to go and do and make disciples. Some of you know I'm currently preparing to take part in a Gilbert and Sullivan production, this week in fact. There's an awful lot to remember, even if like me you're just an ordinary member of the chorus. Not only do you need to know the words and the music, you need to know where to stand, when to move, how to move. There might even, horrors, be dancing. We have to focus on what the director says and keep going back to her instructions. If we're standing nervously in the wings just before we go on and asking one another, what order do we go on in? Can you remember what we do with our arms during that song? Then we'll get things wrong. The director has the authority. She knows how things have to be done. If in doubt, we have to look to her. The church needs always to go back to these words of Jesus on the mountaintop in Matthew 28. He has the authority. He knows exactly what he's doing. Let's never take our eyes off him. And he never leaves us. When I was doing that minor illness clinic that I told you about at the beginning, the doctor who was my mentor went off to New Zealand for a year. There were other people I could talk to and refer to, but I did feel a bit bereft. It's a fine thing when your employer or your mentor or the person who's supporting me in a role tells you that they are available if you need guidance and help. But of course they can't be with you all the time. Jesus does not go off and leave the disciples to it. He doesn't leave us alone either. He promises, "Surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." The sense of the word we have translated always is literally the whole of every day. There will never be a time when he is not with us. It was lovely to hear Lisa share a few weeks ago about how she has a new sense of Jesus' presence with her since her baptism, how she feels him right beside her. Sadly, of course, we don't always feel like that. Things go wrong for us, and the task which he's left us to do seems really difficult at times. That doesn't make any difference to the fact that he is still right beside us, whether we're feeling it or not. Luke tells us that when Jesus has his last earthly conversation with his followers, he says to them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They had to wait in Jerusalem till the Spirit came, and then the mission could really begin. Suddenly everything changed and the disciples went rushing out into the street proclaiming the glory of God. The presence of Jesus by the power of his Spirit makes all the difference. John in his Gospel recounts the words of the Lord before his death and resurrection. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." The Lord himself, who has all authority in heaven and earth, who gives us the authority to go and make disciples throughout the world, will be with us forever. That's what makes all the difference. The Spirit gives us all we need to do what Jesus has called us to do. We're not alone. We have all the power and resources of heaven behind us. That's why that little band of followers on the mountainside could make all the difference. And that's why we can make the same difference now, however inadequate we may feel. The only problem we have is to trust in this presence, in the gifting and power of the Spirit. If we try to do things on our own, we'll fail. Just let the Spirit direct your witness, your mission, the task that Jesus is calling you to undertake, resting in his power and protection and peace. These verses come at the very end of Matthew's gospel. It looks like the end of the story. But of course, it's anything but. This is just the beginning of a story that's still going on and will continue to go on until Jesus comes again in glory. We have his authority, so there's no limit to what he can do through us. Amen.